Hello. Hello.
My tea?
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
Good,
I'm blessed.
how are you?
Wonderful.
Yes, sir. Ready to learn.
Yes, sir. What about you? How's your week going?
It's going kind of good. Just still trying to, get more better at dealing with spiritual attacks and stuff like that and everything, and just trying to learn more. Yeah, we're weary from battle, but trying to rest under, what they say, rest in Jesus. Get my stamina back up.
How did you stamina
Those
get down from the battle?
are, yeah, just the battles, yeah. Just dealing with people and stuff like that, and just the world, weighs down on you sometimes, and so.
The aspect of being human, but also being spirit, right? Duality of it all. It is both human and spirit. God bless you. How you doing, my sister?
Greetings, family. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hello.
And it's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank
Go ahead,
you.
Latif.
Oh yeah, and I was gonna add too, I'm starting to really understand the importance of encouragement of other followers of God, because I know that Paul did that a lot for the other disciples, and he encouraged people, his followers, and before he left. And I'm starting to realize that, and just how important, that is to have encouragement from other people, in Christ.
Yeah, it's very important. There's a reason that the Lord sent them out in twos, right? Because it's easy to be overpowered when you're by yourself. You have to have the Bible says, "Forsake ye not the assembling of the assembling of yourselves one with another," right? And that's because He knows that the attacks. If you don't have people that are believers around you, you don't have an outlet. And it's that simple. And whenever a person does not have an outlet with all the emotional, do you know that your eyes and your ears and your taste, touch, feel, and smell takes in probably a, if you were a computer, you'd probably be taking in a gazillion megabits of information every single day. The size of the door, the knob on the door, does this need changing? Does that, you're taking in a lot of information. And most of that information is not necessarily conducive to the spirit, because the spirit is looking for information from God, whereas the soul is receiving information from life all the time. And if you don't have a balance to it and don't have the Holy Ghost keeping you engaged with Him through prayer, through fasting, through supplication, which is internal prayer, constantly reminding and speaking to God from within you, it becomes a really difficult walk. It's the reason why so many people throw in the towel, because they don't realize how much we need each other.
Yeah, because that's the reason why I call you, because I need like encouragement and stuff, because man, like when it's just you, and then you're just kind of like getting beat down, and just like, yeah, I get it. I see. That makes perfect sense why people throw in the towel and stuff like that, because yeah, it's a lot.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Sister Wanda, how's your week been?
It's great. They now have KJ at St. Mary's, which is right next door to my house, literally. So I can
Hallelujah.
walk over there and visit with him. They're starting another medication plan for him, because they basically pushed him out of the other place. So just being open about the new possibilities for him, and just looking at it in the spiritual realm, you're right next to home. That's exactly the way it's going to be next from moving there to home. So he won't need a ride or nothing. He can just walk up out of there when it's time for him to go.
Hallelujah. We'll have to take a few steps and be home.
Yes, exactly. He only a few steps from home.
Hallelujah. I got a text from Brother Tavon. He had to fly in tonight from Detroit, I think it was. His son graduated, praise the Lord. I think he's graduating from an HBCU. So praise the Lord, God is
That's really awesome.
And so we're going to go ahead and get started in a few minutes, but we're going to be in the book of Corinthians. I think we finished up Romans. We talked about women in the Bible and the power of women and understanding that. And we're going to start on the next journey with Paul. He is now writing to the book, to the church of Corinthians. Paul started about 33 different churches from the time that he was hit on the road to Damascus, introduced to the Spirit of the living God. And from that point where he was blinded for 3 days, Paul gets up and goes out and begins to start churches. He begins ministering, teaching, preaching. He begins a process in his life that ultimately impacts our life thousands of years later. Just like Jesus, he's impacting our life thousands of years later with something that's very valuable to us. It's the word itself, right? And his writings or his epistles, the letters that he wrote, these letters were to do the same thing that they're doing for us, impact the very church itself, because they were trying to get people away from the concept of religious indoctrination to relationship inspiration, to know God for themselves, to not function out of the laws, but to understand the point of the laws, which is to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and learn to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So to break down those 615 laws of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and bring them into a place where we stop worrying about whether I'm doing right or wrong, because I now have this wisdom about knowing how to love that prevents right and wrong from even being a big issue. Because the main key, and this will go back to what you were saying, Latif, the main key to our walk is knowing how to love. And knowing how to love means we have to kind of toss out the concept of being in love. Because most people won't know that knowing how to love doesn't function off of being in love with something. It functions off of understanding that everything needs love. Everything needs it. It's like water. Everything, nothing exists except for maybe a rock without water, right? But everything that has sustenance, that has life in it, has to have water. Well, for the believer, love is our water. It's what you give life to other things with. It's how you continue to grow something in spite of its resistance to growth. Love will help it to grow, right? Love will help it to do things that it doesn't know it can do. That's why Paul begins to start teaching us about how love never fails. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love is kindness. Love is mercy. Love is grace. Love is, and he starts talking about these things in love because he's learning as he's going the power of this love in Christ, this agape that he's walking in now. And he's recognizing love don't always look good, but it works well, right? It doesn't always look good, because even sometimes when you're trying to love people, they'll regurgitate you. But the funny part about people regurgitating your love is that ultimately they grow into a place where they become dependent on that level of love. And so even when they are yelling at you and screaming at you and talking back about you, you know, to you, maybe even talking about you to friends and neighbors and so forth and so on in a negative way, you'll find that they end up always coming back in your presence. And you kind of, you know, it becomes puzzling. if you don't like me, why do you keep showing up?
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing up because the love is working, just not at the pace sometimes we expect it to work at. Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
It's working, and how you know it's working is because people just keep showing back up. They'll pick up the phone and call you. They'll talk about you in one breath and talk to you in the other breath. But at the same time, it's working, and you have to know this. That's why patience becomes so important to me, and that's what I found out over time, just like Paul found it out. This thing works if you work it.
So you're saying love, like basically when you just keep loving someone properly and stuff, you know, like through God, it kind of works on them over time.
It does. Did it, and you know, that's a profound statement. It sort of works on them over time. And it does, because if you look at God in hindsight, not in foresight, not in what you're asking him to do, what you're praying for, just look at him for what he did in our own lives, and you'll recognize it took us some time to get to love him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always loving us through somebody, you know, a mother's voice, friend's voice, some church person that walked up and talked to you. He was always loving us. And it just took us some time to sort of kind of allow our hearts to accept this love. And once we accepted it, we don't ever want to be without it.
So, mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but so God loves you through people?
Say it again?
You said God loves
you
through people?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God, yes. Oh, hallelujah, yes.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And not only does he love you through people, some of the people that you thought were people were actually ministering angels.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
There's some
Hallelujah.
People with legs, feet, arms, mouths, and hearts he used as an angel that day to say some of the things that he said to you. Does it mean that they're going to fly off with wings? No, they're still right here. They may be someplace else, and they may not be doing great things. But on that day, he dropped something and put the spirit on them so that they could say just the right thing to you and plant a seed that ultimately grew into our relationship with him today. I've had people praying for me ever since I was 5 or 6 years old that I can remember. I wasn't listening to it. I didn't care for it, but it was a planted seed that ultimately grew, blossomed, and became a relationship and love of the Lord that I would not dare want to live without. That's why I think Paul goes on to say things like, what can separate us from the love of God? Neither death, nor life, nor sickness, nor health, nor hell, right? Once you experience this, it's just you know that it's the real thing. Like Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell said, ain't nothing like the real thing. And when you get the real thing, you'll never, ever want that false love from anything again. The car can't do it, right? The money don't do it. You know, you can have money and not be satisfied with the money. You can have new cars and not be satisfied. And I think that's the reason why over time, no matter what you get that makes you feel happy for a minute or two, it always wears off, because God is trying to show you ain't nothing like the real thing.
Nothing. Ooh,
25 years
nothing,
later,
nothing,
I'm still
hallelujah.
Excited about the Lord. I'm still, man, I'm like on fire about the Lord.
Hallelujah.
25, I never had that kind of love in my lifetime. Nothing has ever been that good to me. Nothing. Nothing. Nobody. No female, no job. Nothing has ever been so wonderful to me that I'd rather die than to lose it. Nothing. Amen.
Yeah.
So it's 5:45. Let's open up in prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda to open us up, and then we're going to read starting in the first epistle Paul called the Corinthians, the first letter of the Corinthians. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
Glory, 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 glory. We say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We give you the highest praise. Ah, we thank you because you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. We thank you because you don't need no help or assistance, that all the answers are in you. Hallelujah. And your answers are yes and amen. So we thank you, hallelujah, for your perfect will that you have given us. Hallelujah. That we seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and all of your righteousness, and everything that we need will be added on to us. So I pray right now that you help us, hallelujah, to be sensitive to Holy Spirit, that we can just be still and know that you are Yah and Yah all alone. Hallelujah. Knowing that you will speak to us through the birds. You will speak to us through locusts, as you have done to me. You will speak to us through the things that somebody else will consider foolish if we just open up our minds and our spirits to receive. Hallelujah. And I thank you that you use, hallelujah, all things to bring glory to your name. Hallelujah. So that men can't take the credit, that all the glory be given back unto you. So I thank you for what's about to take place in this Bible study right now. I thank you that our minds and our hearts and our spirits are open to receive what thus said Yah on today. Hallelujah. Feed us like never before. Hallelujah. Give us the bread that we need, the one that we can't live without. Hallelujah. One that will bring healing, one that will bring fulfillment, one that will bring good health and wealth. Hallelujah. One that will bring elevation. Hallelujah. One that will bring correction. Hallelujah. And direction on today. Hallelujah. We need you like we never needed you before on today. And we just give you permission to come in and have your way. Have your way. Hallelujah. Have your way. Not our will, but let your perfect will be done on today. Hallelujah. That the cast down be lifted up. Hallelujah. That the troubled mind be silenced and healed. Hallelujah. That the dis-ease in our spirit, hallelujah, be calmed, hallelujah, and transformed, hallelujah. I pray right now that we be not conformed to this world, but that we be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. I pray right now for the minds of your people, hallelujah, that we let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, Yahshua, hallelujah, that we let our mind be in you, hallelujah, that we not pay attention to what's going on the left or the right, that we begin to have that tunnel vision, hallelujah, that we keep our eyes on the prize, hallelujah, that we be not distracted. I cast down distraction right now and confusion.
Hallelujah.
It has to go. It has no dominion and power over
hallelujah.
Us in the mighty name of Yahshua.
Yes,
hallelujah. I speak life on today. Hallelujah. We shall live life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. We will bask in the victory that's already won. Hallelujah. Because this race isn't given to the swift nor the strong, but to the one that endured to the end. So right now, what we need is endurance. Hallelujah. I pray right now for endurance. Hallelujah. 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 Knowing that we have already won. Hallelujah. So we reject everything that tells us that we're not a winner, that victory is not ours. So we thank you for the lesson. We ain't thinking of anything as losses, and we take hold and we adopt the mindset that we are not going through anything, that we are only growing through. So help us to get the lesson today. Hallelujah. That we can move forward with a fire on the inside. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, burn up everything that's not like you and bring forth everything that should. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We call forth your consuming fire from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet. That Holy Spirit, hallelujah, ignite itself in our life like never before. Hallelujah. So lead us and guide us and direct us and lead us in the path of holiness and righteousness, because you said without holiness, no man can see Yah. So line our lives up accordingly. Speak for us and through us on today. Allow the words out, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in our sight. Hallelujah. That you get all the glory, that you get all the honor, and that you get all the praise. Hallelujah. So we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for everybody that's here and everybody that couldn't make it. Hallelujah. Knowing that, to just remind them that they are, let them still be in place, even though they may feel out of place. Hallelujah. So I just thank you right now. Hallelujah. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. These things we ask in your son, Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. And it is so.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank
Hallelujah.
You for that opening prayer. Awesome, powerful, filled with the
Hallelujah.
Power and presence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Father,
you get the
awesome
glory.
God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
Hallelujah.
We bless you, Father. We
Hallelujah.
Just thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Even in our
yes.
struggles. We're not struggling alone. We thank you for it.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go into
yes.
the first chapter. And we're going to read
yes.
since we don't have a lot of people to be overly concerned with yet. We will just read, and we're going to take our times and just break down the word, right? Take our time,
yes.
break down the words, get the revelation out the words so that the revelation... I don't know if you notice or not, but a revelation to me is better than a miracle.
Hallelujah.
Revelation. And,
yeah.
and the reason that I say that is because you could be sick, pray for the miracle of healing, get that miracle of healing, and move on with your day. But if you get a revelation from God that explains something to you about life, fatherhood, motherhood, being in the hood, your job, your understanding about life.
Come on.
When you get that.
Ooh, glory.
It changes
Hallelujah.
Who you are for the rest of your life.
You can keep applying it over and over and over.
It stays there and you keep applying it and
yes.
the applications bring about fruit.
Ooh, glory.
Over
Hallelujah.
And over and over. So a miracle is a wonderful thing because we need those too. But I'd really rather have the revelation. Because
Ooh,
I want
Hallelujah.
To know how to walk through this life, and I want to be able to walk through this life with some contentment, because it's so filled with discontentment. It's so filled mm-hmm. with things that can literally throw you off your square. It's things that, just surround you in your orbit, and you're trying to figure out how to get rid of these things. They don't go anywhere. You ask yourself, how am I going to survive through it? But one revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And all of
Hallelujah.
That changes.
Yeah.
One
yes.
word revelation, and it all changes.
Ooh.
So I'm going to start reading at 1 Corinthians 1, and I'll read slowly. And if we want to talk about it or dialogue over something that you heard, please do so. Okay? I'll go slowly.
Yes,
right, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we go through this, we're going to ask you, to provide for the few. We don't need 1,000 people. We need real
Hallelujah.
People in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Provide
Hallelujah.
For the few. Feed us.
Amen.
In the name of Yahshua. Feed us.
Hallelujah.
That
Glory.
We need so that we're successful. So when we open
yes.
our mouths to tell somebody God is good, we're not
yes.
saying it because we heard it. We're mm-hmm. saying it because we've seen it.
Yes.
And if we've seen it, then when we say it, we'll say it with a conviction, with a commitment, and with a command. You know, there was something God about the way Jesus spoke. When he spoke, the scribes and the Pharisees said, we've never seen a man speak with this much authority. Because he was no longer quoting chapter and verse. He was quoting truth and life. And he was able to take the scriptures and bring them alive to the people so that the people were able to get the revelation they needed in order to be successful. So please shape our lips, our words, and our thoughts.
Shape, yes, hallelujah.
He says, Paul called to be an apostle. Hey, Brother DeJuan, God bless you, sir.
Hey,
Paul called
hey,
to be
buddy.
An apostle of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And Sosthenes, who's our brother, unto the church, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours as Lord. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. For the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in him, in all the things you see, in all of your knowledge that you've gathered, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting, while waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you even to the end, that even though you've made some mistakes, that you might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful. By whom you were called unto this fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all learn to speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgments. For it has been declared unto me of you, you owe me, my brother, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that church over there, that there are contentions, there's arguments amongst you and the church around the corner from you. Now, if I say that every one of you saith things like, well, I'm a follower of Paul, and some say I'm a follower of Apollos, and I even heard about some people saying I'm a follower of Cephas. And some said I'm following Christ. And then, is Christ divided?
Absolutely not.
Were you all ever crucified?
No.
Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God, me, Paul, I'm thanking him that I didn't baptize none of you. But these two people, Crispus and a brother named Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized you in my own name. And I baptized also a few people, I think the household of Stephanus. Besides that, I don't even know whether I baptized anybody else. For Christ sent me not to baptize you, but to preach the gospel, the good news. Not with wisdom of words, where you just get all confused because somebody can elocute, someone can articulate, someone can speak with quite with great elegance as an orator. So that just makes the cross of Christ could end up being of no effect for you.
Come on.
So the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Listen good to this. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to the people around you that are perishing. It's foolishness to them. But unto those of us which are saved, it becomes the power of God.
Amen.
It is written, I'll even destroy, I, God, will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where are the scribes at right now? Where's the disputer of the world, of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world around you?
Come on.
Well, after that is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom never even knew him. So it pleased God, by the foolishness of people who preach, to save the few of them that do believe. The Jews, with their uppity selves, they're not going to move unless they get a sign. And the Greeks, all they want is wisdom and philosophies. Plato, Aristotle, Aristocles. This is what he's talking about. They just want to do philosophy. Do you know, just as a quick break, let me stop there. Do you know there are people right now that live by the philosophies of the Greek and don't even know they're living by that philosophy? And did you know that the word doctrine means the philosophy of Christ?
Yeah.
His was a philosophy too. It was a philosophy of how to live in God. And then when you go back to the philosophy concept, you know, many have been raised that, hey, you know, you shouldn't even get a girlfriend or boyfriend where it is holy to do that. Plato stole that from God, and we call it the word Platonic, which comes from Plato.
Okay. Mm.
A platonic relationship means that it was a philosophy of Plato. Mm. But it wasn't a philosophy of Plato. It was Plato stealing from God.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know Plato did that, because I know Plato was very famous for his writings and his philosophies towards, like, you know, Atlantis and things like that. But I didn't know that's where that derived from. That's very interesting.
Yeah, because Plato was a misogynist. He hated women.
Mm.
He had a
woman.
And by the way, there's a lot of pastors in the church that are misogynist because they belittle women too much.
Mm-hmm.
They don't encourage women to be great and to be phenomenal and be amazing. You can do all that, but you better not open your mouth and talk about the Bible because you're a woman. You better not show great leadership because you're a woman. And there's that spirit looms. That spirit is all over the place.
It's backwards.
It's completely. Thank you, Dewan. It's more than backwards. It's more than backwards.
Mind-boggling.
Caveman. It's a caveman's mentality.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Anytime you look at women, whom God partners up with to bring life into the world, He's the only one that created life in the beginning. Yeah. Yet he utilizes and partners and then connects up with women so that they become the carriers of new life. And how could you defame? Isn't it even a better way to look at it? There are very few men who have any sense that would decry or deride or disrespect their own mothers. But the same man that won't disrespect his mother will disrespect the mother of his baby.
Oh, man, this is no, not good either.
Did anybody hear that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I won't disrespect my mama. Look how hard she worked to get me where I am. But I'll disrespect the mother of my baby. Because I don't get along with her. I don't like what she thinks. I don't like how she acts. I don't like how she responds. I don't like how she reports when I ask her to do something. She don't move when I want her to. And therefore, here I am going, I don't need to be with this woman. She gets on my last nerve. But if it was your mama.
Different story. Yep.
So we have the right respect. Yeah. Which is love, but we don't point that love properly because God chose women. And if you really know anything about your God, you'll even note God typically uses your significant other, your female side of you, in a very wise way. They're normally right on time whenever it comes down to timing. When they come and say something needs to be done, 90% of the time it needs to be done because she saw it way before you did.
Oh, yeah. And I don't mean to cut you off, but let me tell you, man, like, my wife, she's definitely my helper.
Hallelujah.
Definitely my helper. Like, I couldn't do nothing without her. Like, God really, like, yeah. I just, yeah.
Hallelujah.
They are a divine vessel from God to you. You know why most people get into problems with their relationships, male, female? Would you like to know?
Money.
Would you like to know about it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
God bless you, whoever just joined. Let me open
up. That's me, Itina.
Hey, God bless you, my sister.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good.
God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Sister Deborah. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Monroe.
Deborah.
Man, praise the Lord. It's good to hear your voice.
We're
in the book of Corinthians. We're in the first chapter.
We were
breaking up to talk about philosophies and things like that. We sort of kind of broke off at verse Okay. Where do we leave off at? The Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 22.
Maybe 23. Yeah, 22.
So we work from verse 1 to 22?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. We read that already. We can go back over it, though. It's no rush. I'm just glad to have you all here, and I'm glad that we came today to hear from the Lord. So I was talking about women, and I just shared something, before, especially for our men on the phone. Do you know why most marriages and relationships don't last when it comes down to men and women sort of kind of being at each other instead of with each other? And I asked if they want to know the answer. Anybody want to hear this?
Yeah, we do. Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord. All right. So if you remember in your Bible, in the book of Genesis, God said this. He created for Adam a helpmeet. Not a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not a woman.
Come on.
Not a baby's mother. Not somebody that cooks, cleans, and dresses. Not somebody whose hair needs to be long and curly and beautiful in order for me to love her. He created a helpmeet. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The problem with most relationships is because the man does not know he's supposed to have some work for the woman to be involved in. He has no vision for his family, and she has nothing to help, so she has to create her own work.
Come on.
It's about to get deep in here. So it makes no sense. A man's job is to have vision.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A man of God's responsibility is to have vision for my family. Where are we going? Which building are we going to buy when we get 5-10 years down the road so that my wife will have comfort as she gets older, so my children will have legacy wealth, so that this happens and so that we are consistently progressing our family from generation to generation to generation. And most men don't have a vision for the woman to want to be involved in.
Come on.
Then, I'll see you when I get home from work, honey. That's not a vision. That's a mission.
A vision is
for the work to bring in some bread. But you have to have, along with the mission of work, a vision of future. And when you don't have a vision and don't have a plan, a helpmeet has no sustainability within the relationship. And they become a little bit more afraid every single day. Because as much as I love the man, we ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
And I don't mean he bought me some roses and he bought me a diamond ring. That feels good to them for a minute. But in all reality, what makes a woman feel best is when she has a man that she knows is dedicated to a vision for her, him, and the family.
Amen.
Uh-huh. And prayerfully, the man is locked into God.
Amen. That part.
But if I don't have a vision, if I cannot sit down with my wife and say, well, babe, in 4 or 5 years from now, we should be ready to buy our first apartment building. We should be ready. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the money. It's about the vision. If I can't sit down with my wife and say, hey, honey, 4 or 5 years from now, we're going to be in, just walk through all the Madison and touch as many lives as we can. We're going to stop violence. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So when God created Adam, he created Adam to go and work in the garden, which means that was a vision. He construct how the earth was shaped and formed. When he sent them out to name the animals, that was vision, because he had to have a vision to know what he wanted to call the thing.
Come on.
And if we don't have vision as men, my God, if we don't have a vision for our family, we're going to have division within the family, because ain't nobody in agreement about doing nothing except what are we going to eat, what time we go to sleep, what time we get up, who's going to change the baby, who's going to wash the dishes. Who's going to sweep the floor? Who's going to mop the floor? But that's not living. That's existing.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to is to move
wow.
life down the road for the generations that are coming up the road. That is the purpose of life. And if I don't have vision, why in the world should I have a help me?
Mm-hmm.
And if I ain't got no work to do, what is the help me going to do?
Amen.
Come on. Anybody get
that's
it?
Right.
I get it. Yes.
So it becomes important to us as believers, and especially for our sisters, because that's a lot of the reasons why you may not be having the type of relationship with the man of your life.
Yes,
because
sir.
He's never said that, you know, instead of asking him how much he loves you, next
right.
time you run into him, ask him what vision he has for the future.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm going to fall in and out of love with you all along the road.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
amen.
There's going to be some times I can't stand you. But if I love
right.
the vision.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also to see if that vision includes you, because a lot of them still will have a vision, but it ain't no, you know.
Amen.
Say that again,
right,
Sister Hawanda, please.
Yeah, a lot of them will have a vision, but make sure that vision right. includes you. That's why it's important
right.
to ask, like you're saying, because they can be wanting to build their own dream and thing, and you ain't inserted nowhere in there.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That is very well said, because if a man is building, or somebody that you are connected to is building a vision, and it does not include you, that person
mm-hmm.
is not saved.
Yeah, right.
And I don't care what comes out of their mouth, because
yeah.
a saved man knows that
mm-hmm.
the two are one flesh.
That's
yeah.
right.
That the twin
yeah,
have
it's
become
showing you
one.
The foundation that they're definitely
every credit card in my pocket belongs to my wife just as much as it
that's
belongs
right.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Every bank account that I have, my wife has access to it as much
mm-hmm.
as I have access to hers.
That's
every
right.
key that we have two keys, one for her, one for
one
me.
For me. Yes,
and
sir.
Anybody doing it any other way has not
hmm.
yet to the knowledge that's in this book. Because
yes.
this book is not a me book, it is a we book.
Yes.
It's
yes.
not a
not
I book. It's a why book. Why I have
mm-hmm.
to be a certain way. It's not an I book. It's not about me. It's about
mm-hmm.
us.
Us.
And so
yes.
even the body
yes.
of Christ, which Paul is going to talk about in this, even the body of Christ is not an I body. It's a we body.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And when we understand that, that's why he says, if my brother suffers, so then do I.
So do I.
And
yes.
if my brother is rejoicing, I
so
need to start praising God. And that's a funny thing to say, because you could be having a terrible day. You could be going
mm-hmm.
through all sorts of personal hell and struggle and troubles and trials and tribulation. And then you just
yeah.
got a God who said, no matter what you're going through, if Sister Hawanda gets blessed, you better come up out of yourself and start praising
mm-hmm.
God for what he's doing
yeah.
for her.
That's
right. Difficult.
Yeah.
But until you get
yeah.
that part, you haven't yet become a we believer. You're still a me believer.
Amen.
That's right.
Come on.
As long as
amen
you have
somebody.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
So
yeah.
the beginning of really, and I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians, but the beginning of really understanding what Christ came to do is
mm.
by understanding it's all about us.
That's right.
That's why you'll hear
yeah.
me say mm. all the time, at this church, if one eats,
mm.
everybody eats.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
When one is sick, we all should feel sick.
That's right.
That's why we pray for one another. Because
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
we are one body.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a man and a woman is one body, so then is the body of Christ. That's what he goes
yes.
on later to explain when he says it's one body, one faith, one baptism, this is all one thing. Mm-hmm. You got to get this in your head. And then when you understand this one thing, people stop coming, people start moving differently. You start functioning differently. Offerings become differently. They just, all that becomes different because you start realizing I'm not giving out of my pocket. I'm giving to my own body. And when we give like that, that's when Jesus' words come to fruition that says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Mm-hmm. Press down, shake together. But watch the next slide. Shall men give unto your bosom. And run it over. Thank you. But men then give to your bosom because when you give as a we always give back to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
So let's get back to the word, right? So we were at 22. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks, they just seek wisdom. But he goes on to say, but we preach Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Unto the Jews, he's just a stumbling block. And that's profound for Paul to say this. Unto the Jews, the Messiah has become a stumbling block.
Wow.
They're tripping over him. Because they don't accept him nor acknowledge him. So now they can't function the way they used to because there's no real blessing in it, living in the Old Testament, and they won't function the way they should because they don't believe in the Messiah. And that's why he's saying it. They've become a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it's all foolishness. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, but unto you, which are called, whether you're Jew or Greek, Christ is the power of God. He's also the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is way wiser than most.
Wow.
Blessings.
And your weakness in God becomes stronger than the strongest man.
Woo! That's good news.
That's true.
What somebody said on one of our meetings, I just don't want to seem like a punk. He's saying,
well, that's strong.
Just the opposite. To be able to show your weakness, your vulnerabilities, to be able to show that you're human, to be able to accept the fact that you ain't the biggest, baddest, the brightest, and the best. To be able to accept the fact that your weaknesses are only made strong through Christ. And what will happen when we accept that as he gives us these words, what happens is that's why you can go and do things that are amazing that had you not have been in Christ, you'd have never done.
Yeah, never done. Oh, that's like Pastor. Amen.
Oh, I'm too scared to do that. I never spoke in front of people before. Oh my God, I can't even read. I don't want to read the Bible.
But yet, your weakness
becomes your strength.
It's stronger than most men.
He can get the glory. Come on.
Oh, glory to God. Everybody got it from verse 26.
Amen.
For you see, I won't say, Paul says, for you see your calling, brothers and sisters, how that not many wise men after the flesh, some carnal folks ain't getting called, some pride folks ain't getting called. Yes, ma'am.
Where are you guys reading from?
Hey, Sister Betty, God bless you. We're in 1 Corinthians.
Hey.
I think we're gonna have to start all over again. Cause
hi.
We have
family.
Sister Betty.
Hey.
Yes, we just got back today, so I'm doing catch
safely
up.
Safely, praise the Lord. Yeah.
Thank you,
safely
Jesus.
Praise
God
the Lord.
Is good.
Thank you, Father.
Yes,
we're gonna
good.
Go back to
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1. So we can start again. I want you all to stop me and ask questions if you have questions, please. But I want you to hear this and listen to it in the manner that it's written. I'm adding some things in it as I go, but I'm adding things that he's saying. They're just not in the words.
He's breaking it down.
But they are the things he's expressing. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Here we go, verse 1.
So you have 1 Corinthians 1? Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. Corinthians 1:1. Sister Angela, praise the Lord. How are you?
Mom?
Yeah, Mom's here.
I'm well.
Playing silent because she didn't want to be noticed. Because she don't want anybody to go, well, where's she been? I'm waiting. Sister Angela, oh, my God. And she didn't want to hear that. Praise the Lord. They're doing it anyway. We love you. Thank you for being here. Right? And also, she wants to remind me I got a graduation to go to. I know what she's doing.
We got to have that there.
So we're in the book of Corinthians, first, the epistle. I want to make sure I set this up properly for us so that we really do understand it. So we, right after Corinthians, the book of Romans was before that. Before the book of Romans, the book of Acts is in the book of Acts, the 7th or 8th chapter. Paul gets hit on the road to Damascus. Jesus drops in revelation into him in ways that had never been dropped into many men before that time. And it's important to get that about Paul. Because he wasn't trained by Jesus. He didn't hang out with Matthew, with Mark and Philip and, you know, and Peter and Bartholomew and, you know, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. That, you know, he didn't hang out with those guys. He persecuted those guys. He was looking for them to kill him. And God said, I'm going to turn you from a killer to a life giver. And that, I think that's important for us as believers, because if you don't understand Paul's life, you won't understand your own, believe it or not. Because many of our trials, many of our tribulations, many of our travels, many of the places where we thought we were headed in a certain trajectory, we were like an eagle sitting on a branch, and then the branch broke on us, and we just found ourselves falling into low places, low emotional circumstances. If you understand that part of the reason for the branch breaking in your life, or part of the reason for the floor dropping sometimes, is just God trying to see how well you're going to fly. Many of the things that have dropped out the bottom fell out in our lives once you've been saved. More often than not, it's God doing it more than Satan is doing it.
That's right.
Because God has an expectation, just like Paul found out as his travels went on, right? Paul gets to a place where he says these words. When I was a child, I sort of thought like a child.
Okay.
I took things into my mind and I understood them like a child.
Okay.
I even spoke people like in childish ways, but something happened, and when I became a man, I was able to put down childish things.
Hallelujah.
So a lot of the things that are taking place in our life are to get rid of the childish things in our life. It is for God to say, you will grow up real quick with this mess I just let you go through. I'm going to grow you up some. I'm going to bring some things out of you that you didn't even know existed in you, but I knew it existed because I knew you before you entered your mother's womb, and I made a decision that I was going to use you one day, even in spite of your willingness to come to me. So I sent people all along your life to minister to you, to tell you God loves you. I sent people, angels. I sent folks that said things to encourage you, and they encouraged you right into the kingdom where I needed you to be.
Yes, Lord.
And now that I got you in the kingdom, I've got you in the kingdom. There's still a little bit of child there, and I'm going to have to get rid of the child, but I'm going to get rid of it through trying the man or the woman in you. So Paul is in, he's now writing to the Corinthians in his growth and his journey. Verse 1 says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Through the will of God, and I'm gonna stop there for a minute real quick because I want to make sure we get this. There are many apostles on this planet. Many. There are not many that God called to be apostles. There are many that have been given the title of apostle.
Everybody wants a title.
Everybody wants a title. and I want us to understand something about what we call titles, right? Apostle, pastor, evangelist, preacher, teacher, right? Those things. When God calls you, those fivefold ministry giftings are not titles. They're giftings and anointings. Men made them titles. But they get so why talk about that? Because you could be an evangelist sitting right here on the phone, but no man ever titled you, but the calling was from God. It ain't from a man.
Hallelujah. Come on.
You could be a person,
amen,
a prayer warrior, and you may pray for some people and change their entire life.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
no man ever noticed,
amen,
that you have that gift.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is trying to make sure we know I ain't just an apostle. I'm an apostle that's called by God.
That's it.
I don't just have a title. I got a calling on me that I can't even get away from. And I'm going to tell you how you know you have a calling. You can't walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter if you're in the bedroom, the boardroom, the bathroom, kitchen, the homeless kitchen, over at the party, or party lists and just talking to a neighbor. You cannot help but to be what he called you, because the calling is a part of your heart. It becomes a part of your thought process. It becomes a part of your desire for other people. Because it's not a me game in God. It's a weak thing. God ain't calling no selfish folk.
Nope.
And he ain't dropping no callings into selfish people. You must be open to the pains and the hardships of the people around you. If somebody comes and says, I'm sick, it should hit you in your heart. Just as if it was your mother or your brother. That's when you know it's a calling. Because nothing escapes your heart anymore.
Oh, my God.
Called to be an
talk to me, Pastor.
Jesus Christ, through the will of God. And Sosthenes, our brother, so he's telling us who wrote the letter. This is us writing to you all at Corinthians, verse 2. Unto the church of God, I'm writing this, which is at Corinthians, to them that are sanctified, those that have been separated by God. Sanctified is it's a brilliant word. It's a resilient word. But it's also a word that escapes many people because of what religion has done with it. Many people see sanctified as their holiness, the fact that I can praise and worship God and I'm in the church all the time. They believe that's the sanctification. But real sanctification is when you are no longer lonely when the folk that you used to think you needed ain't present no more.
Yes.
So the word sanctified means separated unto holiness. Separated from unholy things so that I can become holy. And
teach
so you know you're sanctified when you stop worrying about who's there and who's not. You know you sanctified when you carry the same message, no matter how tall, how small, how fat, how thin, no matter what color, no matter what size, no matter what hat, no matter what kind of clothing they wear, your message remains consistent about your love for them and about your God. You know you're sanctified when you ain't worried about somebody giving you $25 so you're a little bit more friendly to them than you are to the people that don't have no money. You know you're sanctified. You know you're sanctified when even the man that you love dearly or the woman that you love dearly, if they acting up, acting out, and they want to get out, you can say bye to them, see you later, love you with the love of Christ, and get back to me when you want to get it right. You know you're sanctified, Jen. You know that you know who you are by that point. So Paul goes on to talk about this sanctification, them that are sanctified in Christ, right?
Amen.
He said, unto the church, those that are sanctified, This letter ain't for everybody. This is for folks that know how to be somebody when ain't nobody around them.
Come on, hallelujah.
Jesus called to become saints. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus, our Lord, both theirs and our Lord. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. Ain't it something when people are grateful when you show up instead of grateful when you leave? And I know you know what I'm talking about because there's some folks that surround us. You just grateful when they're gone. So go ahead and hate them. Woo, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I hear
but he say you somebody that he is that men and women and children are grateful when you show up. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him. In all of your utterances, the way you speak to people is different. It's like Jesus. You don't say things the way other folks say them. You don't speak harshness anymore. You don't speak with that edge in your voice anymore. You ain't worried about somebody and how they see you no more. You're worried about whether they see Jesus in you now. And so you don't have that same harshness. You don't have that same tonology. You don't have that same divisionality that lives in you when you weren't saved. And he's saying, in everything, you've now been enriched by him, even in the way you talk. And your knowledge is now different. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ has now been confirmed in you so that you come behind in no gift. So that you don't fall behind in any gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the time Christ gets here, some of y'all going to have been and change the world around you. You ain't falling behind in no gift. You're getting ahead in some gifts. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm. When he gets here, he's going to confirm you. When he gets here, he'll confirm you, who shall also confirm you unto the end of time that you may be blameless. Even now that you know who you are, he's saying, even if you made some mistakes, when he gets here, he's going to say that mistake is wiped out. Because I know you had good intention, and I know that the road to hell is paved with good intention. So even though you were doing it right and they saw it all wrong, you're blameless before me.
Yep.
Glory to God. In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9, God is faithful. You are called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, though, I'm begging you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all learn to speak the same thing. Don't be teaching this doctrine and that doctrine. Learn your doctrine so that we can speak. The same answer comes from Sister Hawanda that came from Sister Deborah and from Evangelist Betty and from Brother DeWine and from Brother Latif. When they answered with knowledge because they have knowledge of the word. So they now speak the same things. I beseech you by the name of our Lord. I'm begging you to learn your word. I'm begging you to get this thing so set up inside of you that when the devil comes, you won't have to wait on somebody to encourage you. You'll be like David, and you can encourage yourself. You won't have to. It's all right to call and have a prayer partner, but the Bible says any two touch and agree. If any two touch and agree, he said, I'll do what you ask for. But when you know who you are, you don't worry so much about the prayer partner because you know I got the Holy Ghost, and if me and the Holy Ghost agree,
hallelujah,
can come before the throne of grace and mercy.
Hallelujah.
And release whatever the Lord said I can release, and I can bind up whatsoever he told me I could bind up. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgments. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that other church, that there are contentions, arguments amongst you between your church and this church. Now, this I say that every one of you says things like, well, I go to Mount Zion. And somebody else is saying, no, I'm going over to Christ the Solid Rock. And here's another man saying, well, my teachings come from, you know, end time ministry. And Paul is, so the same thing. Paul has said, and some of you say you're following Pastor Monroe, and some saying they're following Evangelist Monroe. And some even have enough sense to say, I'm just following Christ. But he turns around and says, but is Christ divided like this? Was Paul crucified? Did Pastor Monroe get crucified for anybody? Did Bishop Stubbs get crucified? Did Mom Zion and Dr. Allen not be crucified for any of you? So, Martine, I thank God. He goes on to say, I'm so glad that I ended up not baptizing a lot of people. Because you seem to get so connected to the person that baptized you, you're missing the point of being baptized.
Amen.
He should say, I baptized even in my own name. It's all about New Covenant Church of Christ. No, it's just about Christ. I baptized also, verse 16, also the household of Stephanus. Besides that, I don't even know if I baptized anybody else. Verse 17, he says, for Christ took me not for the purpose of baptizing, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Not whether I articulate like this bishop or that apostle or this apostle. But did I tell you about the about Christ and the cross and him being crucified for you? Because if I don't do those things, I can make the cross of Christ be of no effect.
Amen.
Verse 18 of the preaching of the cross to them, and watch, this is very important to us as believers. For the preaching of the verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And I don't know how many times I, and as I grew and was growing in the Lord and maturing, I don't know how many times I couldn't figure out why I'm telling these people about Jesus and they seem to turn away. Some even seem to be mad because I said Jesus. Then he read this, and I realized, oh, I'm preaching the cross of Christ to them that are perishing. And to them, what I'm saying sounds like foolishness because they're not yet ready to stop perishing. The word should be preached and taught to people who want hope. Not people who want to act like dope. Let me try it again. The word should be elocuted. It should be given freely to people who say, when they come to us and say things like, I'm so tired of this. I need a better way. This is not working. I don't know what's wrong. I'm tired. I need help. But when you go try to help some folks who think they're better off than you, it becomes foolishness to them. And that's why the church has the terminology pinned to it called Bible thumping. Because a lot of folk went to just throw Jesus on somebody and never took the wisdom of what he was trying to teach. And he said, no. I've got some folks ready for salvation. I need you to pay attention so you know who you're talking to.
That's why.
So verse 19, he goes on and says, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them that are perishing sounds like foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Every time we hear the word, it becomes the power of God. Verse 19, because this is what it was written. He said, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise folk, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of people who think they're prudent. Prudent means I'm, sort of kind of a good steward over money, and I think just because of having money, I got a house, I got a car, and I got those things. I don't need Jesus. He's talking about them folks. The understanding of the truth. And then he goes on and says, but where is the wise? Where's the scribe at? Where's the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So So when you look at some of the stars and some of the people that have accomplished great things in basketball, football, baseball, acting, singing, and you see some of the things that happened to them, this is what he's talking about. Didn't God make what they did look foolish to you? Right? Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom chose not to know God. So it pleased God by the foolishness of men who he sent to preach to save the people that do believe. For the Jews require a sign. They look for, you know, if there's not a storm blowing, if there's not some lightning and thunder taking place, you will not get a Jew to ever say God is speaking. And I was sharing with some people, it might have been last week, 2 weeks ago, in the Jewish faith, in the Orthodox Jewish faith, unless the whole congregation comes up and says the same thing, nobody can hear from God. You look like an idiot if you go inside of a synagogue and say, the Lord told me to pray for you. They will pull you out.
Crazy.
They will talk to you. What? Do I talk to you? The same thing they were doing to Jesus. The same mindset they had over the Lord himself. What? You're saying you got the right to forgive sin? You're saying you told a man to pick up his bed and walk? You told a man to do that on Sabbath day? No, we need to kill you because you're doing everything contrary to God. In all reality, he was doing everything that God sent him to do to show us that this change that was taking place from the old covenant into the new covenant, was taking place. That you too have the right to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You too have the right and the power to speak on things that are not as though they were. You too have the right to cast out every spirit and every demon that comes against you. You have the power, because you're in a new covenant time, and you have a God that lives in you, not around you.
Amen.
So he talked about the Jews and the Greeks, and he says, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews that's been a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it just sounds like foolishness to them. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and it's the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is way wiser than what man can even do, muster up or think. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. For if therefore you speak your calling, brethren, how that not many wise folks. You know how difficult it is for a professor, doctor, a lawyer? Some of them have Christ, but do you know how difficult that is for them? Because too much intellect interferes with faith.
Amen. I just wanted to say I'm having a hard time hearing. There's too much stuff going on in the background. I didn't turn the TV off and all the kids that left the room. I still can't really hear you. There's just too much stuff going on in the background.
Yeah, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It's just in the background in somebody else's phone. You can hear somebody doing something. And it's making it hard for us.
Yeah, I'll try to mute that out for you. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Dad, because I want to hear this. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So because the foolishness of God is wiser than man and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Well, you see your calling. You've been called. You see your calling, brother. How there are not many wise men after the flesh and not many mighty men, not even many noble men are called. And if I can touch that for a moment, when you see Trump, and you see even some of these young boys in the NBA, the NFL, and so forth and so on, they're pointing up and they're thanking God when they get a touchdown, when they get this, when they get that. And you see these politicians talking about, you know, God bless America, we're praying for you, you know, and our hearts go out to this person, this happened, and we're just praying that our city. Most of them folks are lying through their teeth.
Amen. You're right,
most
Pastor.
Most of them they're lying through their teeth.
Yep.
They have no belief in God. they know you do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing to the audience.
Yep.
Because and I'm gonna show you how you can tell, so you don't take my opinion of it. Look at it for yourself. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
How can a whole group of people who call themselves Republicans, the conservative Christian party of America, conservative Christian party of America,
mm-hmm.
how can some folks who know that Jesus healed every man deny Medicare? How can some folks who
mm-hmm.
keep telling us they believe in God and they want the country to follow the principles, oracles, and the ways of God, how can you deny food when Jesus Christ said you must feed the hungry?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How can I'm telling you, use your own insight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take my word. But you do have to open your eyes and pay attention to what we're seeing. How can some folks who call themselves a conservative Christian nation lock men up when he said, go visit the folks in jail? Ain't none of them visiting nobody. And ain't none of them putting in progressive programs in the penitentiaries and in the institutions to say, okay, we may have to lock a person up because, yes, crime is crime, and, yes, somebody should make something has to be done. But why did you turn what was originally, because penitentiaries and prisons originally were the houses of correction. You would go there and learn a trade. You would go there and get an education. You would go there and involve yourself in things. So when you came out of prison, you had a skill set that would keep you from going back to prison. They don't do that anymore. Now jail is based on the 13th Amendment that says, slavery has been abolished all over this nation except in prisons. And you didn't hear that, did you? Slavery has been abolished. Look it up. Slavery has been abolished it's the 14th Amendment. When they passed the 14th Amendment, they abolished slavery throughout the whole nation of America except in prison. Why do you think they keep sending our children to prison?
Come on, our people. Yep.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anybody hear this? Are you listening?
I hear. Yeah.
And so that's why it becomes our responsibility to become robust, which means strong leaders in our family, robust leaders. With the Word of God as our foundation and our core and our principles and what we say, do, and show to our children. Because if you don't, they have a system out here that's built to run them straight from high school to a penitentiary.
Yeah.
They have a system in place that by the time the average child, I'm not talking all of them, I'm saying the average child, and there's always, and the reason that the word average makes sense is because average is always more than above average. That's why it's average. And so the average child, by the time they get to the sophomore year in high school, has not learned anything from high school, from grammar school. And by the time they get into high school, it becomes such a strong embarrassment that all they can do in class is act out the emotion of, I feel useless. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't understand the words. I don't know what this lady is talking. And they want me to take a test. I keep getting the lowest grades in the class. And I'm so embarrassed at being here. I'd rather be gone. And so you now go from the high school to the pipeline of prison. Because they come out of here incapable of producing not a living, but a sustainable living. It's one thing come out of school and you can get a job at McDonald's. But if you don't have Jesus at the center and the core of your life, you'll take that job at McDonald's and you'll never go anywhere. If you've got Jesus at the core of your life and you understand stewardship and financial principles, you can take that job at McDonald's, and in 4 years, you'll own you a couple of buildings because you'll know how to steward. You won't go buy gym shoes. You won't go buy new cars. You'll buy a car. You'll buy a pair of shoes. But you'll take that money knowing I don't have many other options, so I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to get myself out of this mess because I don't have anybody around me that cares enough about me to change my circumstance for me. And that's why it becomes imperative. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And that's why it becomes imperative, not that we just be good Christians. Because the part that he's talking about, notice your calling, not many wise are called. He's saying you could have been dumb as a box of rocks when I called you, but by the time I get through with you, you could have been a slow folk when I called you. But by the time I get through with you, you'll have a work ethic that's off this world.
Yes,
you could be the janitor, you could be the street sweeper. But when people see you, they go, man, that's got to be the best street sweeper or janitor I ever seen in my life because I ain't never seen nobody do it that good. That's why he says pay attention to your calling, my brethren. Not many of them folks that got it all made got called. I called some folks that had it all bad and called them out of that darkness so that I can show folks that you don't need all of what they got to be the best of what I'm going to do. Come to me.
Woo.
And when I get through with you, there's going to be some folks looking at you shaking their heads. They're going to have doctor's degrees. They're going to have medical degrees. They're going to have pharmaceutical degrees. They're going to have nursing degrees. And they're going to be sitting there shaking their heads going, I don't know what this brother or sister got, but I'd rather have that than this.
Amen.
Pay attention to your calling.
That's good. That's so true. It's good.
Amen. So let's keep going. So 26, to see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things. I'm so glad I was foolish. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise folks. And hallelujah, God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things, the low things, I call the low things of the world, and things which were despised have God chosen. Yay. And things to bring to nothing the thing and turn it into what they are. My God, that no flesh. There's nobody standing in God's face and tell him, well, I'm like this because I was so smart and I'm so good and I'm so cute and I'm so tall and I'm so handsome and I'm so mighty and I'm so, I run faster than everybody. I look better than everybody. I'm just all that in a bag of chips. And God will say, get away from me. I never knew you. I called them folks over there that you were throwing away. And I put them in charge of you. Verse 29, should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and even our redemption, that according to as it is written, so that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So hallelujah. King glory in who he was, but who he is, it may be what I am.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we're open for comments and questions and thoughts. Please share what you received and share what your thoughts are. It's just wide open. You want me to start with some names or anything? I mean, it's up to you all.
No. No, Pastor, I can start.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to talk about when you say that you have a calling and you say that your heart is just open and you know that your heart is open. I've always been a giving person. I had an incident that happened this weekend. My my best friend's son got shot. He was in Ohio. And he got shot in his leg. And I don't know if my friend them thought that it wasn't serious, that she didn't need to be by her son's bedside. But I left and I went to him. And he was so happy that I was there. And I prayed for him. And by the time I got done praying for him, he told me, he said, Auntie, God is good, isn't he?
I said, all the time.
Because he was losing blood by the day. Wow. And by the time I made it home, and yesterday, his blood count went up, and they let him go home today.
Hallelujah.
All you got to do is say, yes, God is good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. And that could have went a lot of ways because, I mean, you know, you got people get shot all the time. You can get shot in your leg, your arm, anywhere, and die.
And yes,
your bones and miss everything. Yes.
My God.
Yeah. That's right. God is good.
Amen.
I praise the Lord that you are. And this, I think that's why was the Lord sort of kind of had me review and reiterate when I was a child. I thought like a child.
Yeah.
I spake like a child. I even understood things like a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. And because if you were still immature, you'd have never stepped the plate for that child.
Amen.
That's right. Say it again. Amen. Oh, my
you
God.
Were still a
Come on.
Babe, if you were still on milk.
Yep.
And many of us, I mean, and it's important for the body of Christ to understand, and these are not judgments. I'm discerning.
Yeah.
When you're ready to step to the plate for somebody, knowing it may not even happen. I mean, we pray for somebody and they still pass. And I don't mean one or two people. I mean a couple of people. But you have a responsibility as an adult, mature believer to step to the plate for people. Remember I said, God is never going to anoint selfish people.
Yes.
That's right.
He's never going to anoint selfish people. And if there's anything that I try to check myself for every day as I come through my door, get up out of my bed in the morning and go before I lay my head down, I check to see if I did anything that was selfish.
That's right.
Did I do anything that was just about me? Other than when everything else is done, of course, I'm to take care of me.
Yes.
Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. There has to be a time that I spend time on me. If I go to buy a piece of clothing, I am not going, me personally, and this is just me personally, everybody, please don't think this the wrong way. I am not going to the Salvation Army.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the
reason that I'm not going to the Salvation Army.
Yes. Sure shouldn't.
Yeah.
Why am I not going to the Salvation Army? Watch what I'm getting
because
to say.
Because at that time, you probably taking care of you, you know? I don't know, but you probably taking care of you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
so sometimes you gotta take care of you.
Yes, ma'am. And if he tells us to love ourselves, that means you don't go buy yourself a hot dog if you can afford to get yourself a steak.
That's right.
Because you know the hot dog ain't no good for your body.
That's
right.
And Pastor, when you say that, let me tell you. So many people have told me, why are you driving that far? I said, because he needs somebody, and I'm going to him.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, me living in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I was an hour and 30 minutes away from him. So that drive wasn't nothing to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
So there are certain things that God expects you to respect you in.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are certain things in your life because you're his chosen vessel. Why in the world? Now, if he commanded me in his wisdom and his righteousness and his holiness, and he said,
you know, go buy something for that person right over there. They need some help. I'm not going to go over there and buy them a $2 shirt if I buy me an $80 shirt. I better get them the same thing I would have got me. Because if I would love me that way, I better love them that way. I'm not giving them the stuff that I want to throw away out the closet. I'm giving them some of the stuff I want to keep.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Pastor, can I say something to that? I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm sorry I'm late, too. I just got back from Detroit. My son graduated out there. You know, I hate to miss
Congratulations.
We were celebrating for you, brother.
Thank you. I have been back for a while, actually. The last hour I've been on the telephone, right? It started at right about 6, a little before. So I'm like, yes, I can get on the Bible study. But I got a phone call from a guy that I grew up with that lives in Detroit, where I just got back from. But he saw a Facebook post that I put up, and he realized I was in Detroit. So he called me. I said, man, you live in my city and didn't come see me. Didn't call me. We could have had a good time. You know, I haven't saw him in a while. Mm-hmm. But the conversation, you know, I explained to him that, you know, my sons, I haven't really saw them, and I just hung out with them. That was the purpose of the trip. I didn't intend to go hang out. I got a couple partners out there, you know. I'm talking about childhood friends. You know, Chrysler kind of moved there. So it's a few people that I grew up with that lives out that way now. But, the conversation was just going on. And as I listened to him talk, he began to speak. And it's like he was talking about a couple buddies that were also around us as we were growing up, that he had fell out with. Because one of them lives up there. And I asked him, do you ever see so-and-so? You know, he's like, man, you know, it went left years ago about his wife and so-and-so, not to put his business out there. But it was serious. And he was saying that, you know, now he don't talk to him and he don't intend to. But he continued to say, if I see him, though, you know, I'll show him some love. When his mom died, I went to the funeral, and I told him, regardless of what's going on, man, you know, I respect your mother and how she treated me like a mother as we were growing up, so I'm here. And I was listening. I'm like, wow. Because he doesn't know God. But I heard God in him. And I'm like, wow. So I started to talk to him about the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I made it make sense because I know his lingo. I know how to make it sound the way it's supposed to sound in his language. So he understood. Mm-hmm. And we were on the phone ever since. Ever since. And he listened.
Hallelujah.
According to his word, he will be on the Bible study next week.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Glory.
To agree to what you were saying and to go in depth to what you were saying. Because it was in my mind, I'm like, I had to get off this phone. I want to get on Bible study, but I didn't want to cut him off, and I didn't want to shut up. So I felt it. Once it clicked in my mind, I'm like, wow, Holy Spirit, take over.
Holy Spirit, do what?
Let me make it make sense, though, because I was just being me. Without the consciousness of the mindset of Christ or the mind of Christ. And that kicked in. I'm looking at the time and then the conversation, what I was explaining to him about just
life. I made him understand that it's not about the religious understanding that we have of it. It's not, we don't even realize it's a religious way of thinking. And I made him see it. I was explaining to him about the eyes of understanding. I was get him to understand the difference between this physical world and the spiritual world or the invisible world. I use all type of analogies about the difference thereof, but how they work the same. And starts in the thing. He loves money, always has. And I'm explaining it to him like, dude, my father is a king.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we hear that from scripture, but I'm telling you, the word of God.
How?
Don't think of it as scripture. I'm telling you about the rules and principles of life. He was almost a manager at a job before, so he understands management. I'm talking about how to make somebody else's stuff better than what it was.
Hallelujah.
You know the Lord's, this is the Lord's property. Your life, your house, your body, that's not, don't take ownership on that. That's the Lord's, man. You worry about what you talk about. He was gambling. I wouldn't gamble. I said, you're doing so good. What you gambling? What you at the casino for? Because you don't know God. See, I could talk to him like that because that's my childhood friend. Think you know God. You don't know God. Don't you know? God said, I will provide. He said, don't even worry about food. That's something you have to live. You have to eat. To live.
Amen.
Amen. Because you look at food. Let me explain to you what food is. Food is information. Now, this invisible realm, what are you eating? What are you listening to? What are you watching? That's what you're eating. So I'm giving you some real food right now. And the man, he got it though. He got I was so blessed.
Praise
I'm
God.
Like, man, the happiness often like that. It's normally a fight. I'm grateful. And I apologize for being late, but I'm telling you guys, it was worth it. Tonight, it was worth it.
Your apology is well accepted and well received, brother, because you were doing, and that's why this is so important. When he said, consider your calling, if God called you, and I pray that everybody please, if God called you, he called you for great work. He called you because he wants you to know, I'm living in you, and I need you to release you. And it's a funny thing, because I had these experiences probably 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when I really started understanding and really felt so deeply in love with the Lord, I just knew I'm okay. No matter what happens, I knew I was going to be okay. But the experience I started having was, I started talking to people, and I realized that it wasn't me talking anymore.
Yes. That is the truth.
Just that's this wisdom starts downloading you, and you find yourself feeling like and feeling the presence of Jesus, because he knew when to talk to farmers about crops. He knew when to talk to the winemakers about wine. Hey, what man puts new wine in an old wineskin, and why would you put, because both will burst, and you don't put old wine in a new wineskin. And the reason that he said that was because if you put old wine in a new wineskin, old wine will expand. And when it expands, it bursts the skin.
Yes.
And if you put new wine in an old wineskin, the same exact process happens. So new wine has to go into a new skin because the new skin hasn't been stretched yet. So therefore, the two of them can work together. And that's an important thing to carry with you as you leave here. If he put the Holy Spirit in you, he now expects you to work together.
All right.
Work together with the Holy Ghost.
Don't go on your own. Don't go feeling like you're by yourself. Don't go thinking, mm-hmm. I can do it by myself. Go no, knowing right. that the Lord is going to give me a wisdom to know what to say, how to say
yeah.
it. Because just like Jesus, there mm-hmm. has to be something about the way we speak to people
that's
that they
right.
can identify. I just heard the yeah. voice of the Lord.
That's right. That's
right. I heard him speak from your mouth.
You know what I told? I told him right before we hung up. I told him, because he kept saying, "Man, you gonna miss it, man." And I said, "Man, you won't believe. 30 minutes ago, I heard when I questioned myself about getting off the phone and getting on the Bible study. The Spirit yeah. said." That's the mm-hmm. reason you do the Bible study.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
What are you doing the Bible study for?
Exactly.
So I had an opportunity, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Just the way I'm doing Bible study. If I can mm-hmm. give somebody something so precious mm-hmm. and they see it, they understand it, that's mm-hmm. the thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, it, to stay mm-hmm. on, to get on the Bible study and ignore mm-hmm. that, I mean, see, I have the ability to mm-hmm. understand when someone is paying me attention.
Amen.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
we should all. Because if you mm-hmm. go in the store and pay the cashier, that mm-hmm. cashier is going to know that she's been paid. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's yeah. paying you something, you should know mm-hmm. if you're receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And they should all mm-hmm. receive something. You shouldn't, mm-hmm. you should be taking mm-hmm. their attention and not giving them something in return. That's
mm-hmm.
the whole point of a transaction.
Yes.
So I knew he was paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord knew it too. And yeah. those words. So I was being, mm-hmm. going to Bible study and accumulating mm-hmm. truth and not giving it away is selfish. I was
yes,
who the Lord called me to be.
Absolutely.
So I could do it.
Yeah.
Do it. We can't do it to be it. We have to be it to do it.
Do it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Period.
Hallelujah. I like that.
Period. I'm going to keep on. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yahshua.
Yes.
What a mighty God hallelujah. We serve. My Lord.
Amen.
Before I open, anybody else want to share? Because Sister Tina's, yes. man, her mm-hmm. testimony is amazing. But those things
yes,
are in
is.
You. They're in you.
Thank you.
And if you don't exercise them, they never mature in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And therefore, mm-hmm. I stay a babe. Anybody else?
Me.
I
was sick today. And everybody, not everybody, but caregiver says, you want to go to the hospital? I said, no, I don't. And
no.
he said, are you all right? And I said, not yet. But I'm going to get there.
Hallelujah.
And the next thing I knew, I stretched. I held my hands up. And I said,
hallelujah.
Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other
hallelujah.
Help I know.
Hallelujah.
If thou withdraw thyself from
hallelujah.
Me, where will I go? I was good. Do you hear me? I had to call on the power. And
hallelujah.
That was the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord
yes.
and Savior. And
right.
it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I found me some Pepto-Bismol. I found me some else I took. And I tried to drink water, but I had a bad case of indigestion and the hiccups. I said, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. God
said right enough of that.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I praise God for that work, for his word. His word will cut like a two-edged sword. And I love it. But That really, really was my hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, today.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm so full. I won't need to eat for a week.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Master.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Please share. Whatever you receive tonight, whatever you want to say, the Holy Ghost is here. Let him do his work.
I just want to say I enjoy getting on Bible study every week to hear you guys' voices and stuff. It's very cheerful.
Thank you.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Tavares.
Duane,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I know your voice, though.
I want to say something, James.
I want to say something. Duane, are you finished?
Yep.
Duane, are you finished? You done? No. Yes, I just want to say I enjoy getting on this every week. To say, I love the Lord, and the Lord loves me, and I know that.
Hallelujah.
Yes. No,
oh, my God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sister Angela, go ahead, please.
I just want to say this. The Lord has been dealing with me about the ambassador part of all of this. I had talked to one of my family members yesterday, and I had asked her if she was saved. She's my aunt. And she said, yes, I'm saved. And then she went on. Somebody close to me in my family had told her that if she didn't love the Lord, that she would go straight to hell. It's the way that they had represented Christ to her that turned her off. I was being like my spiritual dad, Pastor Monroe. I said, I'm going to step in for those people that had said that to you, and I want to apologize because they were misrepresenting Christ. So,
hallelujah.
We have to be so careful as to how we conduct ourselves, because I remember in my early days with Pastor Monroe, my spiritual dad, he said, once we become saved and everybody around us knows that we are professing to be saved, you're under a microscope. Everything that you do, everybody's going to be saved, because they want to find one reason as to why they don't have to come to Christ.
Yeah.
And so when we are saved, we need to be walking in God's precepts at all times, and not sitting up here, you know what I'm saying, slacking on one area, but then being strong in another. Now you look like a hypocrite. We have so many people out here that are looking for reasons as to why they don't have to give their lives over to God.
That's true.
And so this whole time that I've been listening to what Pastor was saying, I kept hearing, you know, the ambassador part. We have to really dig in, because it's about people's souls. This whole thing is not about none of us. It's not about you. It never was about you. It was always about you getting it and listening to your leadership and allowing somebody to train you up so you can go out there and get more. Go and help other people. I'm quite sure that a lot of these pastors are tired, because they go around the same mulberry bush and they want people to really listen and grow up and be spiritually mature. And you have to constantly go over and over and over again. And I see the frustrations with pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists and all that other stuff, because people need to start getting it. It's not about you. It's about you getting it and doing what you were born to do, because God has you here for a reason. And so people's souls are at stake. People got to get out there. The vine is ripe for the picking. People are out here dying daily without even knowing Christ, because everybody wanted me all day long. It's not about you. It's about everybody else. You can't be selfish, like Pastor just got to saying. You cannot have a selfish bone in your body. And the Holy mm-hmm. Ghost will show you where you are selfish at.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So ask him to ordain your steps. Mm-hmm. And Pastor, yes. That's all I'm going to say. I love you, Daddy. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm done.
Amen.
I love you too. I thank God for, and we're going to go to the next person, but I thank God for all of you. And I want you to know the New Covenant Church is a church of discipleship.
Hallelujah.
And the thing that makes this church, New Covenant Church of Christ, a little different is that we're here to disciple, to get the word in you so that there's 1,000 New Covenant Churches of Christ all over the world called you.
Hallelujah.
So truth can go out. And it's interesting because recently, to show you how God is moving, you all know that on the 28th of June, if you have a calendar or a great memory, please put this down. On the 28th of June, we're having an event at Elva Park. Starting off with the walks we've been doing in the community, which we do every year, and most of you know that, right? But we've not done an event. So we're doing a main event on the 28th. Started off as 4 or 5 churches. This year, God sent 5 pastors to my door and said, you know, we've watched you. We'd like to join you this year. And those pastors have been amazing. So that became a bit of growth. But the funny thing was, then other people, we were at Bradfest, and I got invited there because they put me on the board of the United Madison Christian Giving Fund. They asked me to be a board member. So I'm a board member. So I was there on Bradfest. And then while there, I ran into some people, and they said, yeah, we know what you do. When are you marching? We're coming. And then Mother Coops that are ministry partners for the United Christian Giving Fund, they began to say, well, we'd like to come out to the event. We're going to bring free clothes. Another group said, we're going to come out there and bring a bouncy house and this. Mm-hmm. And another group said, we're going to come and bring this thing. And then another group said, we're coming to bring this thing. And it is exponentially just expanding. So if you all can be there, please come on the 28th. So that they can see what New Covenant Church of Christ is. They hear about us, but they haven't seen all of us. And it would be nice for us to show up in mass and say, we're here. Because many of you, and this is going to scare you, if you feel with the Holy Ghost, it won't give you an ego. If you feel with the Holy Ghost, because there's no ego. God can't anoint ego. He cannot anoint pride. Cannot anoint hatred, cannot anoint big-headedness. He can't anoint that. But I'm going to say this to you. Most of the people on this phone know more than the average pastor in a church knows.
You just don't know
that you know it because you've never had a conversation with one and really sort of kind of say, well, what does this mean in the Bible? And listen to what they explain to you. But when you pay attention, and this is, I bring it up because now these pastors are saying, you know, we need to come to this church so we can be trained up in Holy Ghost University because they realize that they don't know.
Amen.
God is doing amazing things at your church. And whether you're in Rockford, whether you're in Kentucky, Indiana, it doesn't matter. This is your church. I could not be who I am without you all helping me to be the best of what I am. So there's no, my ministry, this is us. Praise the Lord. This is what God has created.
Hallelujah.
And so on the 28th, if you can, please make it out. Support what your church is doing so people can see, man, what a church this is. Glory
what
to God. From 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock. From 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock on the 20th. Yes, ma'am. On the 28th of June, weather allowing, from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock on the 28th of June.
Got it.
Yes, sir. That's a good example of being a true ambassador. You know, because an ambassador goes to a foreign land or another country. and convinces and demonstrates the culture of his home country. So to do what you're doing, and believers see what you're doing and want to join because they want to impart some of that culture, the fruit thereof. So that's the true example of being an ambassador, to go out and show that there's another way.
Praise God.
It's the kingdom of God. That is the
kingdom. Hallelujah.
So we go out into the world.
Hallelujah.
And show them the culture of the kingdom of God, that country, that invisible country. That we're governed under this government of the kingdom. And it overrides all other governments. So that's good. I'm going to try my best to make it out and be a part of it.
Yeah, we would love to see you
keep moving around.
There's so many people in the church that know you, but ain't seen you yet. So that would be amen. So let's keep going around the table. Anybody else comments tonight? Lati? Praise the Lord.
Let me make it too.
All right.
I just had a testimony from what we were talking about earlier when we had first got on, and question was about y'all loving us through people. I just had a testimony from my own experience. I was on my healing journey, and a lot of my time was spent in my bedroom meditating on the word and reading, and that because I was on my healing journey, that was me gaining my way back to me. But he will speak to you through some lotion if your spirit is open, because I had went to my cabinet where, you know, you have that Victoria's Secret and all of that stuff, but it has little quotes on it. So I looked at one bottle and it says, "Hello, beautiful." And then I looked at, opened the cabinet to grab the next one, and it said, "You're the one." Hallelujah. And another experience I had, I was going through my divorce, but my ex-husband and I, we sold African attire. He was from Africa, and he kept going to the event, and I had strayed back, you know, going through, you know, sitting in my mess. But this day I decided to get up and go anyway. And as the models was modeling, Holy Spirit began to speak to me through her walk. She didn't open her mouth, but he was ministering to me in my ear through her walk, telling me that I am powerful. I am strong. Through her walk, nobody ever had to say a word, but it was through her walk. And I had to even go to her and tell her. She didn't even know what was going on. So we just have to open our mind and take the limits and boundaries off of them, because word is coming from a person. He can speak to us through anything. When you hear, then he know exactly what you need when you need it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for sharing that. And the most important part of what Sister Yarber said was, take the boundary off God.
Yes.
He don't have to do things the way you used to do.
Yes.
He can talk through everything, anything, numbers he'll talk to you through.
Yes.
That's why he put them in the Bible. You'll see some numbers, and the numbers will make so much sense to you, and you'll turn around, and an event will happen after the numbers, and you'll connect the two and go, "Ooh, that was nothing but God."
That's right. Yes. Right.
Take the boundaries off of him. He's big. Anybody else? Brother Lati?
Sorry, guys. That's my son. But, I'm just listening to you guys.
Put him on the phone. He ain't talking about that. Put the little guy on the phone, man. I want to talk to him. Go ahead, Lati.
He's trying to eat the phone.
All right, now, praise the Lord, little man of God. Eat on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to eat it. Ow, now he's trying to bite me. But yeah, he's kind of doing his thing.
All right. So your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm just listening to all you guys, and you know, that's just one of the things. You know, every time you guys, you know, speak, and especially like, you know, Brother T-Von and stuff. I don't know if he's still on, but you know, words. Like, you know, last time we all talked really spoke to me. You know, when we were talking about you know, how like God, you know, really understanding what it meant when you know Jesus, you know, was crucified and how he died from our sins. So because, you know, Brother T-Von and speaking, you know, listening to him and stuff, he's helped me grow to the point where I'm not condemning myself that much no more and understanding what he meant by God, you know, dying for our, you know, sins. So, yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, Latif, your demeanor is completely different now than it was when you got on.
Wow.
And do you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means?
No, I don't.
I hope the people on the phone get this. You have the ability to cast out spirits.
Come on.
Because whatever that spirit was, it's now gone.
That's right. Yeah.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. You've got to trust what's in you. You've got to trust this. Amen. Thank you, Lati. That was a beautiful, beautiful statement. Thank you. And you're absolutely correct. I've watched my other spiritual son in the Lord grow tremendously. He is amazing.
And can I bring you back just a couple words for my brother Lati? Thank you for that. Glory to God, man. But actually, understanding, growing this, what I'm about to tell you, it'll help you to be conscious of and know that everything has a spirit behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. So worrying is a spirit. That's not of God. It's a spirit. It's an evil spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to give you every good spirit that is already in you, is downloaded in you. Those other bad spirits are trying to interfere with it. So understanding that it's spirit, you won't. It's all in the spirit. How our sister was just talking about the spirit, the Holy Spirit was speaking to her through everything.
Yeah,
because life is spiritual.
Yeah. Like
the growing, discerning the spirit. The ability is in your spirit. Be conscious of it, and you're growing.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, T-Von.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Thank
Praise
you,
Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? That's it? Have we completed our task for tonight?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
I guess we have. Praise God. Yes. Father, we thank you. We magnify you and we glorify you for your goodness, your mercy, your wisdom, your insight, your knowledge, your intelligence, your outlook, your grace, your mercy, all the wonderful gifts that you give to us on a daily basis. Let us not squander them on foolishness and distractions today. Let us not squander all of these wonderful gifts and tools that you put inside us because the enemy decides to come against us. But let us stand firm and let us stand foundation in the word of life that says we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Let us seek our strength through you. Let us seek our knowledge through you. And let us be confirmed and convicted in our spirit if we do not fight the enemy with you. Let us stop fighting on our own. We know we have power through Christ. And we know that you have authority over every demon, every imp. You have authority over every spirit on the earth. You are the one that developed those spirits and made those spirits. But they're all there just to test our resolve of whether we believe you or not. Whether it's sickness, whether it's dis-ease, whether it's a disease. It's all there trying to confirm
who we are rather than tear down what you've made of us. We thank you tonight. We glorify you for every person that came to this Bible study. We're asking you to continue to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that your people won't have the room to receive. They'll be overflowing blessings. Blessings that they'll have to pass on to other folk because there's no room in their house for the blessings. We're asking you to move according to your presence. We're asking you to move according to your own prophecy, which is all things work to the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. And if you called us, then purpose is about to take place. We just need to get ready for the purpose. 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 Get ready for your purpose. Get ready for your purpose. Get ready for your purpose. Your purpose, your purpose, your purpose, 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 purpose. Let's just help to be ready for the purpose that you called us to use us so that we can get you all the glory and the honor that you richly deserve for looking beyond our faults and seeing into our needs. We thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. Amen, you all.
Thank you all for being here.
Love you all.
Love you all. Love you all.
Let's do this again next week. It's a party that I don't want to stop. Let's do it again next week.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 All right. Love everybody. Angela.
Love
Text me the date. Text me the date.
Good night.
I'll come if I can be there. I'm coming to the graduation.
Okay.
Love you all. Love you all.
Love you all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.